Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 Dream Beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5HETIDE.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5HETIDE.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
Hey, everybody. This is Chris Malanfi, host of Hit Parade, Slate's podcast of pop chart history. Welcome to The Bridge.
Everybody wants to find Graffiti Bridge. Something to believe in, a reason to believe that there's a heaven above. Everybody wants to find Graffiti.
That's Prince's Graffiti Bridge from the 1990 movie and album of the same name. The film and soundtrack were Prince's attempt to bridge his career from the 80s into the 90s. And the song talks about a heaven above. In other words, the afterworld, a longtime lyrical obsession of the late Prince. It's one last callback to our Hit Parade live show last month about posthumous hits and hitmakers from the great beyond. And these mini episodes bridge our full-length monthly Hit Parade episodes, give us a chance to catch up with listeners, and enjoy some trivia. This month, I'm excited to welcome two very special guests, co-hosts of their own amazing podcast about how pop music works, Vox's Switched on Pop. Please welcome songwriter Charlie Harding and musicologist Nate Sloan. Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hey, Chris.
It's so amazing to hear your voices on my podcast. I've had you guys in my ears for so many months now.
It's a long time coming.
Yeah. Well, I feel like we were kind of willed together Wonder Twins power style because not only do we tweet at each other all the time, but there have been several listeners of our respective podcasts who've been saying for a while that we should probably team up and, you know, give the people what they want, I guess, is my philosophy.
Totally. Yeah. We could either fight to the death or combine forces. And I'm glad we've chosen the latter.
Super team.
Right. I mean, if we've learned nothing from Avengers Endgame, the joining forces thing is the way to go. For those who are not familiar with Switched on Pop, and frankly, if you're a Hit Parade listener, you totally should be. Please tell our listeners what your podcast brings to the table each week and what you guys do that's particular to Switched on Pop.
Sure. So Switched on Pop is all about deconstructing the making and meaning of popular music. So we're going to take a song, an album, an artist, or some essential musical idea and really try to get to some essential truth about that thing. And we do that by listening and looking at the entire language of music, whether that's going to be timbre or rhythm or form or melody or harmony. And we try to present it in a way where it ends up being like the most fun music class mm-hmm. you've ever been in
yeah.
and mm-hmm. a healthy discussion between two strong-headed people who often have different opinions while bringing in some of the best songwriters, producers, and journalists in the music industry to help us get to whatever that core idea is.
Yeah. You can just say nerds.
Yeah.
Nerds. We're nerds. We're big music nerds.
Nerd is a good four-letter word on this podcast, so you're among friends here. last month's Hit Parade was all about hit makers from the great beyond. As I like to say, it was from Buddy to Biggie, Otis to Janis, Freddie to Kurt.
Mm.
And it was our live episode among deceased hit makers. You know, whose work and whose death, I guess, most affected you as music fans?
Yeah. I mean, for me, it's funny. This is someone, we must be on the same wavelength, Chris, because it's who you kicked off the show with. The death of Prince just rocked me. First of all, because he's an artist that I'd heard, you know, was so incredible live, and I never saw him. And so that was just a little selfishly, that was just like so hard. And he's someone who you just felt like he still had so much music, so much creativity still left. So that was a tough one for me. But at the same time, I can comfort myself a little because his influence is just all over the sound of contemporary pop music. So he's gone, but at least, you know, his sound remains.
Yeah, you know, when I wrote about Prince, basically it was my memoriam / obituary for him when he died in April of 2016. I talked about how you can still hear his influence on, you know, current music right up to the 2010s. In fact, there's probably some records that have come out this year that, you know, have his fingerprints all over them, or, you know, very recently.
Oh, no doubt. We just discussed on our podcast, actually, the new album by Lizzo, 'Cause I Love You, which just is so indebted to Prince and the Minneapolis sound throughout. He's an artist who I think will continue to resonate for a long time. His that DIY approach of being in the studio, playing every instrument, creating these genre bending textures, like, that's not going anywhere.
What about you, Charlie?
Recently was the passing of Leonard Cohen, actually. And part of this was that I actually came to his music quite late, actually towards the end of his life. And I felt that his albums, Old Ideas and You Want It Darker, those were 2012 and 2016, were some of the most poignant lyrics about life, death. And I felt like it was some of the most compelling work that I had heard in all of contemporary music. And I think oftentimes there's a sort of a trope that all the best work happens early on. And I think is a great demonstration that wisdom and experience can add to the songwriting process.
You want it darker. We kill the flame. Magnified, sanctified be thy holy name. Vilified, crucified in the human frame. A million candles burning for the help that never came. You want it darker.
This podcast is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity, much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save, too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save nearly $800 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities, like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $793 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2021 and May 2022. Potential savings will vary.
Now comes the time in our monthly Hit Parade the Bridge episode where we do some trivia. And joining us today from Long Beach, California, is Eli. Eli, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Hey, Eli, how are you?
All right, how's it going?
As you may have heard, we have two very special guests on the line with us, Nate Sloan and Charlie Harding from the podcast Switched on Pop. So they may be chiming in on your trivia round as well.
Hello.
Hello, Eli.
Hello.
I understand, Eli, that you are a Slate Plus member. Is that correct?
I am indeed.
Fantastic. About how long have you been a Slate Plus member?
Oh, just a couple of months. Part of why I joined was, I've always loved Dear Prudence, but then with Hit Parade and being introduced to that, I was like, well, I consume enough content. I should probably support y'all. So here I am.
We hugely appreciate that. So that is a useful moment for me to remind everyone that while this Bridge episode is available to all Hit Parade subscribers, we only open our trivia rounds to Slate Plus members. So if you are a member and would like to be a trivia contestant, visit slate.com/hitparadesignup. That's slate.com/hitparadesignup. So, Eli, I think you probably know how this works, but one more time, we're going to ask you three trivia questions. The first one is a callback to our most recent full-length episode, and the last two are a preview of our next full-length episode. Are you ready for some trivia?
I am.
Fantastic. Here we go. Question one. In last month's live episode of Hit Parade, we played a number of posthumous hits. Several of the artists we played even went to number one after their death, like Otis Redding, the first ever posthumous chart topper on the Hot 100. But one artist scored two posthumous number one hits in the year of his death. Who was it? A. Buddy Holly, B. John Lennon, C. Kurt Cobain, or D. The Notorious B.I.G.?
The answer is D. The Notorious B.I.G.
Wow, you didn't even need a second on that one. Nice job. That is
Whoa, that was decisive.
Nice. Yeah, wow.
I love hip-hop. What can I say?
Completely stumped, so kudos, Eli.
Yes, indeed. It was the Notorious B.I.G. in 1997. In the months just after his death, he topped the Hot 100 with both Hypnotize and Mo Money, Mo Problems. Come on. One down, two to go. Now we're going to ask you some questions about the next episode. Are you ready?
As ready as I'll ever be, given this is going to be more of a surprise.
Here we go. Question two. At 1985's Live Aid concert, the most omnipresent performer was Phil Collins, who played at both Live Aid venues in London and Philadelphia, and with several rock luminaries. Which of these rock legends did not play with Collins that day? A. The Temptations, B. Led Zeppelin, C. Sting, or D. Eric Clapton?
You know, I'll just take a guess and say A. The Temptations.
Amazing. That is correct.
Two for two.
Two for two. I know, right? So what's tricky about this question is that two of the Temptations, David Ruffin and Eddie Kendrick, did indeed perform at Live Aid, but with Daryl Hall and John Oates, not Phil Collins. All of the other rockers performed with Phil. You got me on my knees. All right, you're running the table here, Eli.
And I would have thought that Sting would have played with Stuart Copeland, so you totally stumped me as well. Dang.
See, you're beating our special guest hosts. Nice job, Eli.
I'll try to keep that streak going.
All right, well, you're two for three right now. Here comes question three. Here we go. One year after Live Aid, Collins helped his longtime group, Genesis, score their first and only number one hit on the Hot 100. What was that one Genesis pop chart topper? A. That's All. B. Invisible Touch. C. Land of Confusion. Or D. I Can't Dance.
Ooh, okay. I'm going to guess D, I Can't Dance.
Oh, I'm sorry. The correct answer was B, Invisible Touch. It went to number one in the summer of 1986 after Collins had already scored four number one hits on his own. He would go on to score three more, but Genesis would never top the Hot 100 again.
Eli, don't worry about it. Nate in the studio here was going, see, so he got it wrong too.
I haven't gotten a single one right.
I guess you guys are Land of Confusion fans. I
have to do some soul searching after this. I'm just going to have to take a long, hard look in the mirror after my poor performance here, but congrats, Eli. You're an inspiration to us all.
Seriously, two for three is nothing to sneeze at, so nice job, Eli. And now, of course, is the time in Hit Parade the Bridge where you get to turn the tables on me and ask me a trivia question. Do you have a question for me?
I do indeed.
All right, lay it on me.
Peter Gabriel's video for Sledgehammer won 9 MTV Video Music Awards in 1987 and is reportedly one of MTV's most played music videos of all time. The groundbreaking video features claymation, pixelation, and stop-motion animation, and was directed by Stephen R. Johnson. Johnson also directed which music video that features elements of claymation and stop-motion animation? Your choices are A, Sober by Tool, B, Road to Nowhere by the Talking Heads, C, Fell in Love with a Girl by the White Stripes, or D, I Stay Away by Alice in Chains.
This is an excellent question. Do you guys have any idea, Nate and Charlie?
I have a guess.
Yeah, I have a guess.
But I'm not going to tell you. We're not helping you.
No fair for me asking for help. I know I can eliminate Fell in Love with a Girl because I believe Michelle Gondry did that
one. Oh, then our guess is already wrong.
So
you're on your own.
Darn it. I'm going to go for Tool A.
That is incorrect. The answer is B, Road to Nowhere by the Talking Heads. We're on our own. Stephen R. Johnson directed three music videos for Peter Gabriel, which were Big Time, Steam, and Sledgehammer. And he also directed the videos for Road to Nowhere by the Talking Heads and The Bug and Walk of Life by Dire Straits. Johnson directed the Talking Heads video a year before doing Sledgehammer. According to the book by Rob Tannenbaum and Craig Marx, I Want My MTV, the uncensored story of the music video revolution, music industry veteran Jeff Aeroff showed Peter Gabriel a clip of the Talking Heads video and said, quote, I want you to work with Stephen Johnson on Sledgehammer. I didn't even like the song, frankly, Stephen Johnson said of Sledgehammer, adding, quote, but Peter Gabriel took me to dinner, got me drunk on wine, and I agreed to do it.
That is a great tidbit. Okay, this much I do know. If you know anything about the Sledgehammer video and how painstaking that video was to make, can you picture living with a song you don't like that much that long? Like, Stephen Johnson had a lot of work to do on that video. I hope he grew to like the song.
Maybe he got Stockholm Syndrome and just really started loving it. Who knows?
You know, I often say when I'm writing about a song for Why Is This Song Number One, and I should really ask Charlie and Nate if they do this too, I eventually grow to love a lot of the songs that I didn't like at first.
Oh, yeah.
In fact, I think you guys just said something to that effect about the latest Taylor Swift song on a recent episode of your podcast. So Stockholm Syndrome with pop songs is real, people. It's a thing.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, you stumped me fair and square, Eli. Thank you very much for that excellent question and that great trivia tidbit. And I appreciate you being on our program today.
It was a pleasure to be here.
All right. Take care. You know, I even read I Want My MTV. Admittedly, I read it a few years ago, but I feel like I totally should have known that there was some commonality between Road to Nowhere and Sledgehammer since they came a year apart, right? Like, how embarrassed should I be for not getting that trivia question?
As a listener from the 80s, you do have a musicological finger of shame pointing at you, unfortunately. Sorry, Chris.
I think that's true. No, I think you're right. So, of course, I want to take full advantage of the fact that I've got Charlie and Nate on the show with me today and go in a musicological direction, since we've now revealed that the next full-length episode of Hit Parade is going to be about Genesis, Phil Collins, Peter Gabriel. Mm-hmm. I would love to pick both of your brains on the musicological legacy of particularly Phil Collins as a drummer.
Yeah.
You know, he's one of my favorite drummers. When I talk about 80s drummers, for me, it's kind of between him and Stuart Copeland of The Police. They're almost polar opposites, one with a very light touch, the other with probably the heaviest of heavy touches. But what do you guys think Phil Collins brought to the table musically?
Oh, my gosh. I think that if we listen to just In the Air Tonight, mm-hmm. the thing that everyone, of course, knows about In the Air Tonight is the ending bombastic drum outro.
Most monstrous drum break of
all
time.
Yeah, it's spectacular. But we kind of forget, or at least I had, that the song begins with a drum machine, the Roland CR78 drum machine.
Yes.
One of the earliest mm-hmm. sort of pseudo-programmable drum machines, came out in 1978. And it's the precursor to the 808, you know, the sort of essential drum machine which defined hip hop and contemporary music.
Right.
And what we're hearing at the beginning of this track is that drum machine, which is providing just a very sparse rhythm with that languid prophet synthesizer sound and Phil Collins' heavily reverberated voice.
I can feel it coming.
And so when we finally get that big, wild drum solo at the end, it really does surprise us because we've moved from this digitally sound to a natural sound. But something carries over which is unnatural. And that's what we really need to focus on, which is the gated reverb.
I am very familiar with the gated reverb. I mean, it was the sound of 80s drums, you know, and it extended past things that Phil Collins himself did. I guess we should probably break down why they call it a gated reverb and why it sounded so monstrous, so thick, because that's what's so fascinating. It was kind of a combination of traditional drumming, but with a digital overlay. And it's almost like a battle between, you know, one of the most famous drummers of all time and, you know, the machine that in theory could have replaced him, but of course didn't replace him. Right. But then the gated drum sound is this interesting hybrid between, to your point, traditional drumming and what digital technology as we enter the 80s is allowing you to do.
That's exactly right. And I want to help break down this idea of what this sound is, because it is so essential in it and we hear it today so much. And it's sort of a non-obvious thing, but you know it when you hear it. In breaking this down, I do have to give a big shout out to the Earworm series from Vox, who did an amazing piece on the gated reverb. We're part of the Vox Media Network. And in this piece, what we learn about is the history of, like, so much technological innovation. The gated reverb is a mistake. It happens by accident. And actually, Phil Collins is drumming in a drum room, a famous drum room, which has a lot of natural room sound reverb, right? We're in recording studios right now, which don't have any reverb, but that echo can be extremely desirable in a recording. It makes it come alive. It makes it sound like it's in a space. And they actually just had an extra talkback mic, the microphone that would allow Phil Collins to talk back into the studio on the other side of the wall. And that microphone had a strong compressor and a strong gate. What would happen is that the sound of the drum would go through, and the sound of the drum and the reverb would go through that microphone, and then the gate basically cuts off a sound if it's too quiet. And what the effect of this was is basically you had this big cavernous sound that sounds, and then as the sound sort of tails off, it just chops off. And this is what the recording engineer on the other side of the room heard, and the rest is sort of history. They're like, that's a cool sound. It actually makes the drum sound even bigger. But it's this unnatural thing where it sounds like you're in a cavern that gets cut off, it gets clipped. And that sound is the sound, it's most heavily applied to the snare drum. So rather than like a, you get a kind of sound.
It's like if you played a snare drum in a cathedral and then had a giant shoebox that you could just put over that cathedral and muffle the reverberant sound right as it sort of reached its peak, and you had a microphone in there capturing that whole thing. That's the sound of gated reverb.
Well, guys, I can't thank you enough for walking me through the gated drum sound and Phil Collins' role in creating it. As we've now previewed for our listeners, the next episode is going to be about what I'm going to call the hit-making universe of Genesis. This band that started as a prog rock band in the 70s and wound up spawning multiple successful spin-off careers, including Phil Collins and Peter Gabriel. Even their guitarist, Mike Rutherford, wound up being a hit maker in the 1980s and kind of defining the sound of pop and rock in the 1980s. So listen for that toward the end of May. But for now, guys, I can't thank you both enough for being on Hit Parade The Bridge. Much appreciated. How can folks get in touch with you?
Well, Chris, first of all, thank you to you as well. This is so much fun. We're going to do some more crossovers, including in some upcoming writing that we're putting out where you've been a great source for us. So for Switched On Pop, you can obviously find it anywhere you get your podcast. We're on Vox, so we definitely recommend checking out Switched On Pop, switchedonpop.com. You can talk to us on Instagram or on Twitter at @SwitchedOnPop.
Fantastic. I seriously recommend the podcast highly. It is educational every single episode, and it's one of the most pleasurable podcasts that I listen to. So my deepest thanks to Charlie Harding and Nate Sloan. And for Hit Parade The Bridge, I'm Chris Melanfi. Keep on marching on the one.